everyone. Welcome back to the Mayor's Table. It's 2022. We have our first episode of the year with City Manager Rob Mays talking about things from the past, things in the present, and things to look forward to. So stay tuned. Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett, and welcome to the first episode of 2022. I feel like we're a few weeks late, but that's because we had a very special guest that we wanted to bring on the show first. And with us for the first episode of the year, City Manager Rob Mays. Rob, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Mayor. It is great to be with you. It's hard to believe we're already at the start of a new year.
We're already a month into the new year, which is even more incredible to me because it's 2022. And like 2020 was the longest year for me ever, but 2021 was the fastest year of my life. I don't know how it was for you.
Similar, for sure.
Yeah. And now here we are in 2022 with very similar issues going on, but different in many respects. Obviously, the hope, of course, the big headlines is hopefully this is an endemic, not a pandemic anymore. That would certainly relieve a lot of the pressure and challenges that we're facing. But the reason you're here, Rob, is because we want to talk about things that have happened in the past year with the city of Farmington, things that we're kind of looking at this year, and kind of give people an overall perspective of, you know, many of the things that you focus on as the city manager of the city of Farmington.
Well, thanks, Mayor. I mean, it was obviously a very challenging year, but if you look back over the last year or so, in spite of all the challenges, we accomplished a lot to be proud of as a community. First and foremost, I suppose, surviving COVID, keeping our doors open, keeping our services in place. We didn't have people working at home like so many governmental offices, our state offices. We stayed out there, and our people kept their facilities open and served our citizens throughout a tough year.
Very much so. I think that's really been the focus for us, certainly as a council and as a city administration, was just that. We want to make sure our services are up to the standards regardless of the challenges that we face. Because, I mean, since 2008, we've faced many financial challenges as a city organization. And now, of course, moving into the same place that so many private businesses are struggling with, and that's personnel.
Yeah, I kind of anticipate you asking what was the biggest challenge. And honestly, looking back over the last decade of financial challenges, this has been the biggest challenge in terms of the people necessary to maintain services. And the expectations of the citizens haven't changed. In fact, in many ways, they probably went up during COVID. They needed services from the city, and we struggled from everything from, you know, trying to keep bathrooms clean to sports fields mowed. We operated for a lot of last year with about a third less of our staff needed to conduct those services. And so when I say our people did more with less, that's an understatement this year.
Well, I think that's going to be the continued theme even into this year, and it's certainly good to at least kind of preface that for our viewers to let them know that patience is still going to be a virtue. We need people to be patient, just like, you know, if I own my own private business, there's going to be times where I struggle to have proper staffing, having that right attitude going in there, anticipating that there's a possibility that exists. I think that just sets up to where people don't feel like their expectations aren't being met. But we're a service provider. That's what we do. Clean water, electricity, wastewater, streets, parks, and so many other smaller components to that, but those are the broad strokes that we try and work on every day. And last year we had some projects that, you know, we managed to kick off and some projects that we got done. And I think the one big project, of course, going into the beginning of 2021 that we finished was downtown Complete Streets, which we've seen some of that benefit already starting to roll in into Farmington.
Yeah, we really have. I mean, that that project's been met with such excitement from our public. And of course, that was right on the heels of a $14 million investment in the Civic Center. So the entire downtown has really gotten a facelift, is an understatement. And then, of course, this last Christmas, a lot of excitement associated with all the new Christmas decorations there at Civic Center Plaza and downtown. It's just been a really fun, uplifting time for our citizens. We had so many positive comments.
Well, kudos to the Parks and Rec team and Assistant City Manager Julie Baird. Yep. So instrumental in kind of putting that lighting together to celebrate the season and then to have a big windstorm come in and knock the Christmas tree down right before Christmas. You know, we had to get it put back up. And, you know, it takes a lot of people to make a lot of these things operate. So we're very fortunate we have a group that can do
that. Our crews didn't miss a beat. They were down there that next morning, had those trucks down there, and had that tree prop back up. They weren't about to let that let Christmas be stolen this year by a windstorm.
That's right. Lots happening here. Of course, last year, 2021, we had the Outdoor Recreation State's Outdoor Recreation Conference was hosted at the Civic Center. That was kind of, we were kind of worried that it wasn't going to happen again, but we managed to successfully and safely host that. That brought in about 500 people to the area, focused on kind of the state's outdoor recreation push, but also in my mind, it was a celebration of what we have done here in the Four Corners in San Juan County in building up those outdoor recreation assets. And that those projects are still continuing, and I know we've got a few on the books that we're looking at and some that we hope to kick off soon.
Yeah, I mean, the big ones that come to mind are, we continue to place a high priority on the River Trail development. We'll be opening up the Among the Waters Trail very, very quickly. And that'll create a connection from the far west end of Farmington all the way across to the Bryan Parkway there at Animas Park. We've obtained in the last year, talking about kind of invisible things that the public doesn't recognize, but we've obtained all the right-of-ways to pick up at Animas Park and go all the way to the far east side of town where the Pinion Hills Bridge extension, which is not a pipe dream anymore, which is happening. So we just have a little bit of a holdout right there in the middle around Bryan Parkway, but we will see in a short period of time the dream of the connection from one end of Farmington and all the other on the River Trail. A dream 30 years ago that didn't seem possible.
No, I think it's really special the way the community has come together, especially some of those landowners who have recognized the value of this type of river trail system. And we've been able to bring those people together, and I think it's going to be a big asset. And there's a lot of conversations right now with the infrastructure bill that the federal government has just passed about multimodal means of transportation. And that kind of corridor where you've got a connection that goes all the way from the east and west sides of town along the river, but gives you access. I mean, there's going to be points there where you're going to have access all the way to get to the hospital, to get to downtown businesses. I mean, for me, it opens up possibilities for people to ride their bikes safely off the streets and get to where they need to go.
Yeah, it's not just recreation the way we historically view biking. Walking and biking is a multimodal transportation. You know, then we never stop dreaming. We finish up the dream from building it from one side of Farmington to the other, and there's already dream on the books on the county's plan and the Aztec's plan for us to continue that trail all the way to Aztec, and then even long-range dreams of seeing that trail built all the way to Durango. And imagine that kind of a transportation network and an attraction.
Well, I think for anybody looking for, you know, those outdoor experiences, having the capability of traveling that 45 miles along the river to and from two big economic centers here in the Four Corners, I think it's very, very enticing. On top of the stuff that we're doing on the trails, of course, we've been in partnership with the county and the Bureau of Land Management and working on other assets north of town. We saw last year the Skills Bike Park that was built just north of Calibri of Northern Foothills area. And then we have the International Mountain Bike Association came out and provided us kind of the plans and drawings for the potential for a, you know, mountain bike trail system, really, just off of Foothills. We have 93 acres there in the area. That I think that would be a big win for this community. And you know, so much of what we're trying to do here is also a complement to what has already been established in southern Colorado. You know, when it's snowy and wet up there, it's usually not the case here in Farmington. And so it really becomes a big attraction for those outdoor recreationalists up in that area who aren't skiing every weekend, because we know that's a big part of the draw. But they come down here and enjoy those assets as well. So those partnerships are strong. We're continuing to work on the Outdoor Recreation Industry Initiative. Lots of opportunity for people to get involved in that also. There are volunteer groups, 501c3, that's been created FAST. The Farmington Area Single Track Group, they've done a lot of work at the mountain bike park that they've built by San Juan College.
And talks and plans about trying to extend that around the golf course and other areas?
We are working on a three-mile loop that would go around our beautiful Pinion Hills Golf Course, which brings in, you know, the next conversation. Yeah. Council approved a $9 million bond to see the full renovation of Pinion Hills Golf Course. And I think it's important for our public to know. I mean, this is one of the biggest draws to our city, certainly one of the things we're known for. And when every year you're rated as a top 10 municipal golf course in the nation, we need to take care of it. And I'm proud of council and for the city coming together and finding a way to make this work. But what types of things can people anticipate with that project? Because starting with the fact that, A, it's closed right now, how long do we anticipate it to be closed and what work will be done?
Well, it should be, best case scenario, 90 to 120-day closure, you know, weeks. We are realistic about the potential for additional supply chain shortage issues to have an impact. But what started as kind of an irrigation project, really, as you said, grew really into vision for a complete renovation. So it's complete rebuilding of the car paths, concrete car paths.
Stained concrete car paths.
The irrigation, the rebuilding of the sand traps, and I'm not going to say complete, but a pretty significant renovation of the clubhouse area, parking lots, landscaping. It's really going to look like a new facility when we're done.
That's exciting.
It'll be worth the wait.
And some of that work, too, will also be done, or we're looking at some things that we can also do at Civitan, which we know has some needs there as well. And then maybe even that third vision down the road is the potential that we've talked about on a number of occasions at City Council, and that would be the miniature golf course located at Civitan.
Yeah, that's something that there's been a lot of public interest, a lot of public feedback that's kind of back on the, as you say, at council's direction, kind of back on the forefront of due diligence and analysis of that project. We actually think that's one that's you know, really close to being able to pay for itself. It's a reasonable, you know, cost-benefit financial model that it almost will pay for itself. So that's always good.
So there's lots going on with golf, but I want to kind of transition into some other outdoor recreation areas that we've been focused on, Lake Farmington being one of those jewels of our outdoor recreation assets. And we're going to continue some work out there that's going to make a difference this summer. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, on the short list is the idea of putting out some of the water features and add to the opportunities out there with the Whibbits or other names they go
kind of
by.
The water playground.
The water playground area. Assuming, back to our conversation earlier, we can hire lifeguards. This last year, we actually had to put that project on hold because we didn't have enough lifeguards to keep the other pools open.
How old do you have to be a lifeguard, Rob? Do you know the answer to this?
I think 16.
I think 16. So if we have any 16-year-olds out there or parents of 16-year-olds who like to swim, they could apply right now, City of Farmington, and we can...
It will train you and put you to work this summer. Yeah, we definitely need lifeguards.
Is it like 45 lifeguards, I think, is what I understand, based on all the different aquatic facilities we have, that we need a group of 45?
And we've been,
I think last year we ran at 20. Which, so, if people recall, there were days at Bisti Bay Water Park where the big water slides weren't open because we didn't have enough people to operate it. So have your kids apply, or grandkids.
Well, speaking of pools... So some exciting work going on at Lions Pool,
right?
Our classic pool that's been enjoyed by, you know, not just senior citizens, but many of our seniors. That pool is going under some short-term renovations in order to keep it open for a couple more years and meet the State Department's. In fact, it's actually closed right now under construction as on some things. But kind of the big news is the council is directed staff to be looking at the potential for building a new therapy pool at some location that would be a state of the art, you know, consistent with our not only taking good care of our seniors who live here now, but been an attraction for seniors and retirees, as well as a therapeutic place, partnering with the hospital and the medical community, the therapist community, and there's so many opportunities there we're excited about. We've actually put in a request this year for capital outlay from the state for design work of that, and that request has been met with some positive reception. So we'll see if that happens. So that project may really get a big jump start.
Yeah, certainly. In the places that I travel when going to Colorado, I try and look at the recreation centers in different communities because I'm always amazed with the quality of recreation centers there. And I know the therapy pool area is always full of people, and it's definitely, we're at the point again similar to Brookside Pool, where you've basically hit the age limit. It can't go any further. We have band-aided for decades, probably, Lions Pool to keep it going, because we do recognize how important it is to have that superheated pool for therapy uses. And I think it's time. I think it's probably a good transition time. And the other part of it too is the amount of dollars out there right now that are available for all sorts of different municipal projects provided through these bills, like them for better or for worse, the money's going to be made available. We want to bring that money here to Farmington and improve on these facilities obviously for the benefit of this community.
Yeah. Well, another one related to that is the Gateway Park is in developing that area around the museum is a high priority of the City Council. And in fact, we just got news of a grant we applied for there from the Gold King Mine settlement that we may have some money towards kind of a very first structure out there, which is a kind of a pavilion for special events, as well as our farmers market. So that looks like that may be coming to fruition.
I think that'd be incredible.
Yeah, that will be.
And that park, you know, the future, you know, the vision there, of course, right by the museum is that easy access point right to the river, and the opportunity for us to do a river wave park also in that kind of future vision for how we want to see that developed. But it's been a plot of dirt for so long. Getting something in there that I think beautifies that area and kind of makes it symbolic to who we are as a community is going to be nice. One thing I meant to mention just about Lake Farmington is we're creating 13 new beachheads essentially along the lake, and that work's going on right now, clearing some of the brush and things to allow people to have better access to the waterway, as well as I think it's a mile and a quarter long trail that will then go along part of the
lake as
well.
Yeah, I think for our citizens when they get back up there this spring and summer, they're going to be pleasantly surprised with the added beachfront area.
Good news as far as water goes too, Rob. I think we're at 110% normal snowfall for this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, we're still in a drought, so we'd always want to take it seriously. But as most of our citizens realize, we really live and die on our river. So snowpack is looking really good. So there's a lot of variables, how fast it melts and so forth. But as we sit here right now, it's certainly encouraging that we won't be in crisis mode for water this summer. But cross your fingers and keep praying for snow.
Keep praying for snow. The Community Transformation and Economic Diversification Fund, also called CTED, we've used this fund for park rangers. We've used it for development at the lake. It's supported the downtown project. It's supported the Bistai project. It also is a part of some blight removal that we've also done that people may have noticed. And this past year, we had a couple of projects that, in my opinion, definitely improved the character of this community.
Yeah, that's a great point, Mayor. Almost everything that we've talked about, you know, outside of utility and street infrastructure, really has been a result of the council's, you and the council's vision to be willing to put in that dedicated gross receipts tax, 0.25%, to better our community. So just about everything we've talked about, frankly, has been funded by that, and it will make a difference. Blight removal, one of them. We've had, you know, last year we did Miller and Pinion, tore down a building there and cleared that whole area, working on some environmental mitigation now. And the big one, part of that downtown project, was Anastasi Inn. We talk about public-private partnerships.
Sure.
We had a partner of a developer there where the city invested in the demolition and tearing down of that, and we'll see something come to fruition there with some new development. And then, of course, the two hotels there on Airport Drive were torn down. Those were long-standing, not just sources of blight and eyesores, but safety, crime issues, fire issues, drug issues. No question about it, those were all worth it for no other reason than the money we're saving on having to respond and put our first responders at risk going into those rough areas.
Sure. Well, and obviously, and especially like the Anasazi project specifically, opening up that space for a future developer to me is key. I mean, we want to see somebody go in there, put a legitimate anchor business down that you know brings up and brightens the downtown corridor.
Well, that's the gateway, really, to it, and it opened that up. And of course, we got all that construction there by the hospital with the new retirement independent living being built there, and all that now is in view, and the whole West End looks so different.
It does, and I think it's moving in the right direction. You know, and I'm proud to say that and see that happening here in the community. Kind of shifting gears, looking at future things that we are working on, and I think it'd be good to give our public kind of a knowledge of things like Tibbetts All Ability Park.
Yeah, well, that's a big one. We did obtain the old Tibbetts Junior High property from the school. They're our partner in that project, and we intend to build a truly a regional special abilities park similar to Park Above in Rio Rancho. And there's some really notable. These are one of a kind places for children and adults of all abilities to come. We're really excited about that. We've had some early success at some grant money. City Council awarded the contract here just about 2 weeks ago for the design. So we'll be beginning public public discussion on designing that project and getting that moving. Of course, we mentioned the trail, but we'll be turning our attention from the far west side trail now to the north extension in this next year. Well, Pinellas Boulevard, we touched on that. That's
so this may be the first time that many people may have heard about this, but it's important. The Secretary of Transportation for the state of New Mexico has released that Farmington and San Juan County will be provided the $35 million, or it's up to $40 million, necessary to complete the Pinellas Boulevard extension south from Main Street, build a bridge, go across the river, connect in the South Side River Road, and then up, you know, up the way towards Crouch Mesa area.
Yeah. Well, people don't realize that the second largest city in San Juan County is Crouch Mesa. As far as, it's not a city, but there's a lot of people that live in the unincorporated area of the county there. And it really is going to be the most significant addition to our transportation regional infrastructure than we've seen in 30 years. And in fact, it's been identified for 30 years as a need, and it's been the top project on the city and county's ICIP for, probably 20 years. So that's a big win for our community, and it's going to create a lot of connectivity, a lot of economic development, relieve congestion in East Main, and just be a really positive thing. But that's actually happening in the next year.
Yeah, I'm hopeful as well with the number of dollars being put towards roadways by the state, the potential for us to see 516 from Farmington to Aztec, to see that road improved would be huge. The road going from 516 to Navajo Lake. That would be a huge win for the area.
Yeah, these are roads that we have lobbied for along with the county for years, and we continue to do so.
Yes. Yeah. Rob, other changes, things that you're looking at here in 2022, 2023?
Well, we like to talk a lot about, we get asked about economic development a lot when you and I are out speaking places, and we start by reminding people that ultimately that's about making the private sector successful. But our job is all this infrastructure, all these facilities that are necessary to bring a quality of life. And some of them are exciting and sexy, like river trails and water projects and lakes. And some of them aren't. They're invisible. We've come off the hills of having completed a $24 million rebuild of our wastewater treatment plant. And starting this next year, we'll be doing a new phase one, or our water treatment plant one. Those are things we just take for granted: clean water and sewage that doesn't get the city fined $1 million a day by the EPA, and you can't let those things go.
Right.
And they have to be paid for, and of course we do that through our rate structure, but we just want our citizens to know we remain focused on infrastructure at a time when our nationwide gets a D- in infrastructure. And I can assure you that our community, that's not the case in Farmington, in spite of 15 years of austerity. We have advanced in every area of our infrastructure, from streets to electric to water to sewer, and so that's something that we should be proud of as a community. We could ask a lot, obviously, about San Juan Generating Station and kind of where that stands.
Sure.
And it continues to be, a very important emphasis. We like to remind people and kind of correct some of the misinformation out there. City of Farmington is not invested in Enchant Energy. City of Farmington has inherited an ownership right as the other owners exit the plant. And we've spent just under $3 million in marketing that asset nationwide. And then in the transaction necessary, Enchant Energy is who we selected. And they're working every day. We still are optimistic. It's really good news on the engineering front coming out of the FEED study. The engineering capacities are going to exceed all of the projections. And so this fall will be some important timing as that FEED study is completed, because that's really necessary for investors to fill the confidence in it. But good progress there.
Well, an interesting headline that kind of ties into this is that PNM has requested an extension of the life of that power plant.
Yeah, it's kind of like, for us, we have two hats we wear: the City of Farmington and its ownership right to the plant and trying to continue to save those jobs and all that. But as the Farmington Electric Utility, it's one of our most important generating assets as well. But you're right. PNM has come out publicly and stated, told its customers to expect rolling brownouts.
Yeah, I read that the other day.
Yep, and their solution to that is asking permission to stay in the San Juan Generating Station for some number of time. And that's very important for us, too. With the challenges in the electricity market, if we lose, one of the reasons we have fought so hard to save San Juan Generating Station is that it's important to our utility. It's probably going to be a neighborhood of an 8% to 10% increase in rates to our citizens if we lose that. And of course, now you're seeing the reliability of power issue. We've estimated that if all of our work has been worth it that we've put into this, if it's only extended 3 months next summer in the third quarter, that's probably an $8 to $10 million savings in purchase power that we'll have to go out in the market and buy and pass those costs on to our citizens. So certainly all the effort, all the work we've put into to try to extend the life of that plant is beneficial from so many fronts. But we do like to correct the misinformation. The city of Farmington is not an investor in carbon capture or in Enchant Energy. We're facilitating that transaction with hopes that Enchant Energy could be successful in that project.
And lots of information is posted on the Enchant Energy website as well if people would like more information on the project.
Including recently some pretty cool updates regarding the engineering and technological aspects of the project.
Excellent. Rob, anything else specific to the next year or two that you want to make sure our public is knowledgeable about?
You know, nothing comes to mind. I really appreciated your comment of, you know, we hold ourselves to a high standard. In spite of all these challenges, we will continue to do our very, very best to meet the expectations of our public. And we appreciate the patience and understanding when if something doesn't, you know, from staffing levels. But, you know, pick up the phone, call us, email us, call you, call me. You know, give us an opportunity to explain. If you see something that doesn't seem to be like it ought to be, instead of kind of jumping to that conclusion, oh, there goes government again. You know, give us a chance to explain what we're doing. We really do try to apply good management principles, good stewardship, and treat every single tax dollar as if it was our own. And we really don't like government red tape and hiding behind bureaucracy. So, you know, give us a chance to explain things if you have questions, and let us work to solve your problems.
Well, that's a great point. I will just say this: as an elected official that interacts with other elected officials across the state, we have a superior organization up here, and it starts from the top and works its way down. In comparison to some of the other challenges and things that we're seeing in other communities, you've built a really good team at the city of Farmington, and I truly believe they're dedicated public servants. And in regards to tax dollars, you know, making sure that we are being accountable for those things. Recently, we were again for the 26th straight year provided an award for our accounting for what our finance team does, and that's a big, you know, that's, well, it's because we set our standards high and we expect
another clean audit that we should never take for granted. And again, our citizens should take great comfort in knowing those things.
Sure. Well, Rob, thanks for being here with us to kick off the new year on the mayor's table. I know we'll have you back again throughout the year a couple times.
Well, and I want you to, over the next days and months, to bring on some of our department heads and let them come on and honestly brag about the things that they're doing. Because as you said, we have an incredible team, and I'm really anxious for our department heads to be able to be seen and known and recognized for the good work that they do.
Absolutely. And so for all the public who are out there, you know, we just encourage you to be engaged in local government. Your city council meets 3 times a month at City Hall. These are open meetings. They are streamed. You can view them online, and you can attend in person. We, of course, encourage that. But also be sure you know about the City of Farmington's website, www.fmtn.org, as well as the Farmington CVB website, farmingtonnm.org, for events and things that are happening here. Like and follow on Facebook. I mean, there's always information that are happening. We just had a gas explosion on 20th Street. You know, it was great to see the electric utility had information out there for people, but no, that's the go-to place really in our community is Facebook.
Especially for real things that are happening in real time. It's important to follow on the social media platforms.
Absolutely. Well, look, we're looking forward to a positive 2022 and beyond. We started off the year strong, some great projects that are going to be completed, but know how much we pay attention to the infrastructure and the things that make this community really go, and we want to hear from you. So thank you for all that you do. Let's keep the year going strong, and we'll see you here next time on the Mayor's Table.